David Zabalow is going nuts. Let me play it. Good morning. By the way, a little fact that you don't know about me. When I was in high school, I had a 1955 T-Bird that sadly I lifted and put big tires on. It is very embarrassing. I don't have it anymore. I'm so sorry. Gosh. So I wasn't a low rider. So Sandy and I, good morning, by the way. Good to be with you. It is our 44th anniversary this week. Not today, but this week. And I was thinking about, thank you. We are going to stick together. Pretty sure. But as I was thinking about it, I thought about, wait, we came here in 1988. So we have lived an enormous part of our marriage right here with you. And some of you have been here kind of from the beginning. And I got no wisdom coming from that, but it was a big deal to me that I've spent my life with you people. And it's very cool. It's enriching. I mean, when you're a kid growing up, not very many people stick with you. You hope you have that benevolent uncle that's cool, not stern, and maybe he's a little rich. But you're hoping for that and doesn't have any kids, you know, all that stuff. But coaches come and go. You just got that? Yeah. I know, that was hilarious. I am so funny to myself that I have to be careful. Thank you. Linda Work is my friend. So I can't even remember where I was going. I have no idea. I'm not in my notes. I'm in my head, which is scary. But it doesn't matter. You remember about 3 weeks ago that I asked you to pray for 50-50-50. I said, just some of you that like to pray that God would bless us this next year or two. And I want 50 kids in junior high. I want 50 kids in high school. And it's not about numbers. It's just about a target. And I want to build a college group, which we do not have in existence. And I want there to be 50 kids. And I'm going to take them, and at least half of them are going to serve in the junior high and high school department for no money, a lot of them, or chump change at best. But that's the plan, all right? So I want to show you pictures of this is the high school group. So this is a start. This was last Thursday night. And a lot of boys. We need some girls. Maybe they have scared the girls away. I don't know. But that's a picture of the high school group this last Thursday. A lot of them are freshmen and sophomores. Go ahead, Joe, the next one. This is junior high. On this, I think they're by the trees and on the stumps. Ben knows. It's so encouraging to me when I get pictures. And he sends them to me Tuesday night and Thursday night. And again, a lot of guys. A lot of guys. Just cool. I'm just going to keep you updated. It's not about numbers, but it's about impact. It's about touching a life. And I just can't imagine being a junior higher or a high schooler during this era. You know, we certainly were not innocent. Not claiming that. Not going to sing that innocent song about me growing up as a teenager. But it is different. And I sense it's brutal out there. So keep praying. So today's theme, the dilemma of forgiveness. The dilemma of forgiveness. And I think we're going to hit that over and over and over again today. But hopefully you will enjoy our time and you'll have fun talking about forgiveness. One Sunday, a cowboy. We have a number of cowboys in this room. They may be cowboyed up today. They may not. But they can bring it when they do. One Sunday, a cowboy went to church. And when he entered, he saw that he and the preacher were the only ones present. A little concerning, but he walked in, and the preacher asked the cowboy if he wanted him to go ahead and preach. You know, there's only one of you here, so you want me to go ahead? And the cowboy said, I'm not too smart, preacher, but if I went to feed my cattle and only one showed up, I'd feed them. Good old cowboy wisdom right there. So the minister began his sermon, and 1 hour passed, then 2 hours passed, then 2.5 hours, and he finally ended. The preacher finally finished and came down to ask the cowboy how he liked the sermon. What'd you think, cowboy? Cowboy answered slowly, "Well, I'm not very smart, like I told you earlier. But if I want to feed my cattle and only one showed up, I sure wouldn't feed them all the hay." "Don't worry, I'm not going to be long, probably." Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can be together, that we can celebrate you in this place week after week. And we can attempt in every way we can to look to you, to lead us, to guide us, to figure out you and how you want us to walk with you, how you want us to interact with you, how we can connect our emotions with you, how we can follow you better. And Lord, it seems you speak to us and you touch us with little tidbits of wisdom, and we thank you for that. I thank you for every man, woman, young person, and child in this room right now. And I pray your blessing on them in every way I can, that they might fall fully in love with you, whatever that is, that they might see you as the most important thing in their life. Lord, keep our attention, I pray, and touch our lives today with this enormous subject of forgiveness. So Jesus, we welcome you. We welcome you into this room. We welcome you into our lives. We give ourselves to you in every way that we know how to do. And we want you to know that we love you and appreciate you right here, right now. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, we're working our way through a series, making much of Jesus, trying to lift him high in our life. You know, when I come in here, and I certainly prepare notes, and I worked extra hard this week because I kind of got lost and had to be found, and I was, but all I really want you to know is that Jesus loves you with the depth of love that none of us can fully understand, but we can seek after, and that you're safe with him always and forever. And as most of you in this room have embraced him by faith already, I get that, and that's cool. But more than anything, I want you somehow to be inspired this day, to love him all out, and whatever that means to you, and to want him, not just take him aboard because you have to, because you want to go to heaven, but it's beautiful to be in relationship with him. So forgiveness is a vast topic. We could talk for a long time on it. And whenever we bring up forgiveness, it seems like people listen up. It just sounds good. It brings promise with it. We all want it visited on us. We want to know that we're forgiven by God. It's sometimes a struggle for some, for one reason or another. We want to be forgiven by other people based on the mistakes that we've made in our life. We don't want to be held to account in this wickedly judgmental way, because none of us can live up to it, and we kind of know that ahead of time. It's part of being human that we make mistakes. And forgiveness isn't really complicated. It's just really hard to do when you're hurt. And that's the dilemma. Because people hurt people. They just do. And hopefully it's not bad and awful, but it hurts from those closest to us often. Sometimes it's hard to remember, but it's just the truth that forgiveness benefits the forgiver more than the forgiven. Now, let me say it again. Forgiveness benefits the forgiver more than the forgiven. And somehow, if you can take that and put that on your mental mirror every day when you shave, if you're a guy. Well, I guess you girls shave too, but I'd be kind of weird in the shower. I just have to go there, Carla. I don't know why. See, most men that are of my stature don't do that. Just kidding. I'm going to mess around today. It's summer, okay? A lot of people are on vacation. I'm semi on vacation. I'm leaving today. Not on a jet plane. I'm coming back next Sunday. Forgiveness benefits the forgiver more than the forgiven. Somehow to lock that into your mind, you go, whoa, do I want to be forgiven or do I want to be a forgiver? What is it? So a couple thoughts. Just we're going to run through a sort of process of thinking, a little philosophy today, but not a lot, but just to make you think about the subject of forgiveness. First of all, number one, we need Jesus and his forgiveness. This is easy, but I wanted to start somewhere, and I thought this was the place to start. This matters more than anything. We need Jesus, and we need his forgiveness. Everybody needs him, and everybody, whether they know it or not, wants what he can do for them. And what he can do for you is he can forgive you. And in a classic way, just wash away all your sins, past, the present ones today, this week, and the future ones. Wipe them out. It's too good to be true, but it is. This is the Jesus that we love. This is why we worship him. This is why we want to walk with him all day, every day, because you don't know how you might mess up. And when Jesus is your Savior and he's your guy, you can mess up and be okay. Not that you want to, but you can't. Ephesians 1:7 lays it out pretty clearly. In him, Paul tells us. So it's all in Jesus. In him, we have redemption. We've been redeemed by God. It's a rich word. We've been bought back by him. We've been given high value by God. We're one of his children. We've been redeemed where once we weren't. In him, we have redemption. And how did it happen? Through his blood, very descriptive, a real price was paid for your and my redemption. And what does this all mean? It means the forgiveness of sin. That's what redemption is. That's what his blood did. It gave us the forgiveness of sins. This is why he did it. This is why we keep coming back to it, because it's so essential. It's so crucial in the history of our life, from now until forever, wherever that is. It's him. It's all him. It's always going to be him. And then interestingly, Paul tags on, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So Jesus came to us. Jesus served us. Jesus redeemed us by paying an enormous price, because it was all about God's grace shown to you. And it's offered to the world, but many people say no. When the irresistible grace comes down from heaven, however it comes, the gospel message, however it's seen by somebody that lives in our neighborhood, some people in our own families, and they just say, not for me. I don't want it. So sadly, but we're going to keep plugging till we end up in heaven. And Jesus offers us forgiveness. And, you know, you may want to take him up on his offer if you're kind of outside of that. Not a bad day. This is why he came. This is what he wants for us. Once we experience forgiveness, we enter a whole wonderful world of freedom. Now, all people don't take advantage of it all. They should. It's not the freedom to do wrong, but it's the freedom to be you 100%. 100% all day, every day. With respect, certainly. Ultimately, Jesus is the great liberator. I'm hoping that you see some different pictures of him today. I'm hoping. Freedom is what comes from him. Let me ask you, who else is going to set you free? I can't. I can make you laugh a little bit during a message. I can bring my wife up front to do music. She's not bad. By the way, I like to work. I like to sweat like 3 hours, not 4 or 5. I got boots. One day I walked into church because I was cleaning up our house that we're working on, the contractor's working on, but we had to get it ready. And there was a guy that lives across the street, a young guy, 35-ish. And I came in, I had my farmer hat on, I had dirty pants and a t-shirt that was fully full of sweat, and I'm walking down into my office, and I see him. I go, "Hey, man." He goes, "I didn't recognize you." I go, "Oh, yeah. I'm a working man." 3 hours. 3 hours. I can't give people freedom. Can you? Can you? No. Jesus is the great liberator. Don't forget that. Number two, So we need his forgiveness. We need him. Number two, we need to be real deal. Real deal. Real deal. I want you to remember that. Real deal forgivers. Not just hopeful ones. Not just saying, that's a good idea. You want to have a great life? You become a real deal forgiver. All day, every day. But Jim, you don't know what my husband said to me. Forgive him. Love him. We'll put burning coals on his head. We need to be real deal forgivers, not only because it's the best way to live, but it's what God wants for us as well. When we forgive, as we forgive, as a course of action in our life, what happens is not only God is honored, but people see. Because people are smart enough to know, if I did that, I wouldn't forgive him. And some people just kind of want a battle. They want to fight. They want to disagree. And I kind of look at them, and I go, do I need glasses? What's going on here? Why do you want to fight? You know? Let's make love, not war. Colossians 3:13 says this. Bear with each other. We've talked about this before, except the fact that people are a bear sometimes. they're a load. And you have to bear up under that load, right? Bear with each other. And part of bearing is forgiving. And forgive whatever grievances, which captures everything. Forgive them. Forgive them. And these refer to real issues. One by one. What grievances do you have against the man or the woman you love? Why don't you make a list before dinner tonight? Don't tell them, because you all got them. Grievances, they're definable things. Make a list of them, and as they, don't show him, because he might try to fake fix himself. He's already broken, he can't fix him. But start gently, forgiving those things. And forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Not just your husband or your wife, but in life. Whatever you have. You may have against one another. And these are things that we build up. Resentments, things, stuff. He says, and then he has to add this little caveat. Jim, I want you to forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Oh, thanks a lot, Jesus. So I got to be like you? Yeah. That's what I want. I want the forgiveness to be full. The Lord's our example in how we ought to live. And that's hard, and we're going to talk about that next. But to live forgiven and forgiving is the secret sauce that makes life wonderful. If we understand how forgiven we are, it's a little tiny bridge to becoming a forgiver. The moment you start feeling special and deserving and like I've earned this thing called forgiveness. I've worked it up. I've created it by the way I live, by the decisions I make. As I do that, that adds to pride. And pride is one of the things, as we'll see later, that stops forgiveness. People need our forgiveness. Learn that. Remember Steve Green, long time ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, did a song that is very boring today, but people need the Lord. And it just goes on and on. Sandy used to sing it. It just never ends. Beautiful tones. People need the Lord. And just God. I know. Please write a song that says people need forgiveness. They do. All day long. And you're the one to step up. Number three. We need to get the why of my forgiveness. Now I'm getting into you. You need to get the why. Why have you been forgiven? Really? What is that? So the truth is, we've established we're forgiven forever, those of us that have trusted Jesus. What should we do with that is what I'm asking. How then shall we live, as Francis Schaeffer talked about 40 years ago in his beautiful book? What difference does it make that I've been forgiven? What is the why? Well, a couple thoughts. Where it all starts, number one, because we've been forgiven ourselves. All right, you've got to know this. Otherwise, you don't pack the gear to be a good forgiver. We've been forgiven ourselves. Jesus has accomplished this for us. And because we possess this forgiveness, it's ours. I own it now. He did it, but I own it. It's mine. It's mine forever. Because he did this, we should certainly be thankful regularly and keep our eyes on the prize. Of what's coming in eternity. important part of walking with Jesus. We keep our eyes above, not just here. We don't just live for here. We invest in different ways to try to touch people so they can go to heaven with us. And we live lives that are confident of the future. Spiritual confidence is a real power. And some people see it as arrogance. I don't. And sometimes I'll bring up, you know, I regularly say, you know, we're redoing our house and it doesn't matter the details, but I'll say to people, I'll say, you know, I'm creating this house so that when I go to heaven in 15 or 20 years, that my wife, if she chooses to, not get a new husband, if that's what you're thinking. So don't line up, okay? I'm looking around the room, seeing who's old enough. No, we're building a second master bedroom that we could put a door in and close, and not so much rent out. She probably won't need to do that, but she could. Living alone is not cool, by the way. Companionship is so beautiful. And all of us are going to bury our mates. I buried 500-600 of them. Everybody. See how I'm talking about death? And I'll tell people, you know, when I go to heaven in 15 or 20 years, we're designing the house with that in mind. People think I'm freaking nuts. What are you talking about? Well, this is true. I am going to go to heaven in 15 or 20 years, right? No. 30. Are you kidding me? Big guys don't live long. Where's Will? How long do you think Shaq's going to live? Come on. Barkley? Come on. I'm a realist. And when you talk about death with no fear, people are undone. One of my daughters said, Jim, don't say that. Well, why not? I mean, I'm not boastful about it. I'm just truthful. A little weird, I know. Number two, part of the why of forgiveness is because Jesus has taught us to forgive. We really want to be people, men and women, who follow him, right? Once forgiven, I need to forgive others as well. I need to see this as a goal in my life. This is where the message is building to. Certainly, this is part of the why we've been forgiven. And Jesus coaches us, all of us, to forgive and to do so over and over again and to do so in an unlimited way. Oh, wait a minute, Jim. Are you saying I've got to constantly forgive other people? You bet. You want to be free, you better forgive. You aren't free if you don't forgive. And somehow, there's so many issues when we hold our forgiveness back that are so big. There's so many things in my brain. I got to keep going because I can't be long. Number three, getting the why of forgiveness. It can be very hard to actually forgive. Let's tell the truth here today, like we do each week, because it is the truth, and we all know it. Forgiveness isn't natural, but it's necessary. I want to say that again. Forgiveness isn't natural for us humans, but it's necessary. By the way, a little hint. That's the dilemma of forgiveness. It's not natural, but it's necessary. Okay, let's go home. Let's pray. It's hard for many different reasons to forgive. One of them is because we sometimes have to live with dangerous or toxic people around us. And sometimes they do or they don't know it. And it's just the way life goes. And you go, well, what's a dangerous person or a toxic person if you don't know? People who are overly demanding, they're difficult. It's okay to have some things that you're clear on or defined that you want, but when people get overly demanding and they get their way, sometimes they encroach. It like builds. And if that's you, I'm so sorry. I'm not picking on you today, but change. Everybody around you knows it. Stop the demandingness. Why are you doing it? You're probably demanding on yourself too. I could get in so much trouble right now if I keep talking. So we're going to move on. Overly demanding people can be dangerous. People who have poorly defined boundaries. This can be in any area. People that often talk about others behind their backs. And you hear it. And you don't know really what to do with it. I've told my staff for 30 years, you can talk about my weaknesses in life, but do it with respect. I am not perfect as you're not perfect. I don't want to hide from the truth. I don't. I want to be honest in my life. But also, I want respect. And I want to respect others. Those who hold grudges and keep score on everything, it's like they have a checklist, they're dangerous. Now, those are the eggshell people. You walk around on eggshells when you're with them. And with my weight and size, that's not easy to do. I have tiptoe, and it's hard. Those who enjoy hurting others, it appears. That sharp tongue, dangerous, toxic, hard. Those that have problems, and when you get into the nitty-gritty of life, it's always somebody else's fault. This problem, and then this problem, and then this problem. They play the blame game all the time. If it wasn't this way, everything would be better or different or right. You know, I just want to be a guy who takes responsibility, not overly so. I'm not going to take responsibility for your miscues, but I'm going to take them for me. That's what a grown-up does. The blame game just doesn't work. Mean people kind of stay negative. Dangerous people give us repeated opportunities to forgive. And they need our forgiveness. And you know what? They deserve our forgiveness. She says, Jim, wait, you just made a pretty tough. Forgive them anyway. Be the bigger person. Be the Jesus follower that they need to see. And maybe they'll make a change someday. Maybe they'll come to a church service and hear just what I just said and go, oh, that's me. Oh, that's me. And they'll go, I don't want to be that anymore. I don't know. I don't have anybody's name in mind, by the way. There's probably none of you. There's probably only people in other churches. We get to forgive them. Can you look at it like that? We get to forgive them over and over and over again. How cool is that? Number four, refusing to forgive others can mess up life. We'll see this more as we work through things today. But there's a whole list of things that are self-inflicted pain issues, and it's two of the words that I hate that are together if it's about me. Self-inflicted pain. I don't want any of that. None of it. I'll take whatever life throws my way, but not self-inflicted pain. Please, I don't want those. Unnecessary anger, out-of-control emotions, bitterness that finds a home. We're going to get into that a little bit. And number five, a principle of life. This is just a principle of life to think about. Is that we produce what we are. It's kind of like the law of the harvest. It's a principle of life. Mr. Zabalawi, welcome. Good to have you here, buddy. We are all designers of others. You ever thought about that? You design other people. You do. People watch people. Kids watch parents. We all cast a shadow in life. Some are bigger than others. So what? It's still a shadow. We teach others by our actions. And by the way, in actions. God just made it that way. You are designers of other people. You may not even know who's watching you, but they are. And number four, big point. What being an ineffective forgiver brings. What it brings. We'll start here so we can end with good news, by the way. So what comes from being a non-forgiver? What are the results? What's the payout? What's the ROI on being an ineffective forgiver? I'm not saying you don't forgive sometimes, but ineffective. And you're not listening to Jesus, and you're not following him, and you're living life your way. Number one, it produces pain and hurt that can last. It's natural to feel bitter when somebody hurts you. I mean, everybody does. It's natural to develop a grudge when we're hurt. That's normal. Jesus is asking for us to be abnormal. Jesus is asking us to take a step in our life to grow beyond what is normal and what is easy and what is natural. That's what he's asking us. It's natural to be deeply affected by betrayal. We're human. We're human. When this happens, powerful feelings can hit. Anger, turning into resentment, feelings of rejection that are deep and profound. When others hurt us, the pain can drive our decisions and actions if we let it. If we let it. Our self-esteem can be affected. Our defensiveness can kick in to protect. Anybody here defensive? Thank you. One friend and I. That's good. You got you godly people. I don't even know that I should be talking to you. Often the last thing we want to do is forgive when it really hurts. I don't want to do that. Jim, come on. Come on. Would you forgive him? Yeah. Once you learn the art of forgiveness, you don't forget. Psalm 104:3 says they, and we're speaking here, if you look at the context, evildoers, people who do evil regularly, make their tongues as sharp as serpents. Now, that just doesn't sound good to me. Doesn't sound good. Snakes, my our sweet dog getting bit by a rattlesnake 3 weeks ago. It's funny, he's got this patch on his back that they shaved, this beautiful one-year-old golden retriever that just is so peppy and fun and full of life. They made this square on his back, and there's a kind of an oblong hole where they put a fentanyl patch on him. I didn't know snake bites hurt so much, but they put a fentanyl patch on our dog. Well, that's all done and gone. He doesn't remember being bit by a rattlesnake. But we're reminded. So when I take him for a walk, somebody goes, oh, your dog had surgery? I was down at the beach taking him for a walk. And I go, no, he got bit by a rattlesnake. And they go, you know, it's like, you know, I mean, most of us in the room haven't been bit by a rattlesnake. And when I read this, I went, oh, made it worse. The poison of vipers is on their lips. What they do and say has the potential for relational destruction and death. And they can kill relationships. We need God's help in dealing with evil. We've got to listen to him. The message is go to God for help when you face this stuff. not just I'm not going to forgive them. I'm going to stay mad at them. I'm going to call them out. Don't go to God just when things get desperate. Go to him in your life. Learn how to reflect him. Let him have you now. Let him coach you in a predetermined way. You just make the decision today. I'm going to become a better forgiver. I mean, write that in your notes and let's do it. Bring it on, man. I'm going to double my forgiveness level inside my marriage. And you watch what happens. Ho, ho, ho. I got some ideas for you that I'll keep to myself. Submit to him. Don't do it on your own. Number two, we can end up bitter and grow toxic. And grow toxic in our life. And we didn't really mean to, but we've been hurt. Jim, you can't believe what they did. Toxic emotions don't help any situation, none, zero. The writer of Hebrews warns us about that. And if we heed the warning that you're going to get in a moment, we have less bitterness. And I want that for you. I want to clean the slate. I wish I had a bigger eraser and I could erase all the bitterness that you have as a combined group in this room. Because it's a better way to live. And Jesus is a liberator. Let him liberate you, please. Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. Always do your very best with the Jesus message in your life, in any way that you can, with your personality. Always keeping hope alive before others. That Jesus is who he is and that I love him. You may or may not. Don't stop preaching at people. And start sharing how much you love Jesus and why. Ask your good friend that doesn't believe, can I tell you why I love Jesus? If they say no, don't tell them. But they're not going to say no. Start talking about him as your friend. I mean, you know, ladies, you know, when you're with my wife, she can't shut up about me. She loves me so much. She talks about all. What are you laughing about? Let's go on. And that no bitter root. Here you go. Bitter root grows up. It's our responsibility to see that what gets planted in our heart. It's one thing to be angry, to flip out. We're human. But to stay flipped out gets ugly. And it gets ugly quick. And it messes up more people than we know. And it might be messing you up. That no bitter root grows up to cause trouble. Because that's what they do, each and every one of them. And then it can potentially defile many. It's cancerous. It hurts them and has a negative effect upon them. A four-year-old boy repeated his prayer the way he thought everybody else in church prayed. He says, "Forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets." Often people have put trash in our baskets. The truth is, people have hurt us. People have abused us. And they will. It's not done. See, what some people do here is they get tough. And they get defined. And they build fences. And they're unreachable. You can't hurt them anymore. You don't want to live like that. Devil loves that because Jesus gets closed down in your life towards others. When lacking in the forgiveness department, things crop up that we don't want. That's what he's talking about. Things get messed up. Having an unforgiving spirit is a common problem. It's kind of normal in the world we live in. And when we refuse to forgive, we end up filled up with some level of anger, bitterness, and resentment, and it shouldn't be that way. Number three, non-forgivers live looking in the rearview mirror. They live looking in the rearview mirror, seeing past pain constantly. They kind of learn to enjoy talking about it. They won't forgive, so they're never going to forget and move on. The memory of the hurt and betrayal sticks with us, and boy, does it. Dwelling on the past stops us from living in the present. Just the truth. Look at Acts 17:29. It's going to be on the screen. Therefore, since we are God's offspring. This is true of you. He's speaking to a Jewish culture at this point, but the idea there is that God created us. We should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made in human design and skill. God is way beyond anything created, even though man loves stuff. And so do we. We got to put God above stuff regularly. He says, verse 30, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance when people idolized created things, and they did. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. You need to see your need of forgiveness is what he's saying. He's preaching, Paul is. Verse 31, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. And he's speaking of Jesus. Jesus is going to judge the world. He will. People don't like to hear this, but it's the truth. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Power beyond this life that man does not know. And when we ask the question, who came back from the dead? The Savior who has a name, it's Jesus. And there's some warning in there, certainly, but there's some proclamation. Forgiving and letting go is hard. And the Jewish people were being asked, stop doing what you did and do something different. Letting go rather than carrying around everywhere you go, the burdens, the bitterness, the anger, the baggage weighs us down. Non-forgiveness is too heavy for us to carry. And it messes us up. Forgiving is difficult because it means letting go. And you got to let go of being heard. You got to let it go. You got to let go of receiving an apology. Let it go. The apology isn't going to make it better. Of being understood. The emotion of justice denied in your mind, in your sense of fairness. Let it go. Just forgive. They say, Jim, that's too hard. No, it isn't. You can do it. And you do it over and over again. And you can be free. Refuse to get stuck in the past. That RVM living, rear view mirror living. Don't do it. 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 Just take that. Remember the gumball rally back in the 70s or 80s? The guy in the Ferrari's leaving New York. And he's got this accent. I can't do accents. I wish I could. But he grabs the rear view mirror of the Ferrari. And he rips it off. And he says, what's behind me isn't in front of me. And he throws it out. And he takes off for California. Number four, we can secretly, it's not quite so secret, be playing God with retaliation. Withholding forgiveness is one way of reclaiming a sense of power and control. And retaliation is a knee-jerk reaction. But when someone hurts us, when they do, what is our immediate reaction? We want to strike back. It may not be physical. You may not want to fight. You may be so hurt you want to slap, hit, run your car over, whatever might be in your brain. But a normal action is anger. With a sense of disbelief, I can't believe you just said that to me. And we've all been there somewhere at some point. Romans 12 speaks to this issue in a bigger story, but we'll just take part. He says, Romans 12, 19, do not take revenge. Revenge defined is to avenge oneself, to punish someone in retaliation for the harm or injury that they've done. Do not take revenge, my dear friends. I love these words. He's talking about heavy, heavy stuff, and he's saying, my dear friends. He could have just said, my friends. Paul just throws in dear. He's smart. He's really smart. Speaking of those who follow Jesus, someone's got to trust God to actually do this. You can't do this if you're not following Jesus. You never will. Otherwise, we take care of things ourselves. He said, my dear friends, but leave room. Don't try to fix it yourself. Leave room. Open this area up to God. Stand out of the way. If you do it yourself, you push God out of the equation. He said, leave room for God's wrath, his judgment, and required payment for the wrong that's done. People do not. I talk about the law of the harvest at least 5 to 10 times a week, and so should you. Just so you think about it, because you live in the law of the harvest every day of your life. You reap what you sow. And so what you sow day in and day out really, really matters for your life, for your testimony, for your influence. I ask my wife, I talk about this all the time because I think we live under it. It's a principle of life. That when I take care of what I sow, I'm better off. And what I'm building, the forest, the fruit trees, the farm that's being built behind me is very cool. I'm not in control of it. I'm not watering it. I'm not planting the seeds. He's trying to sow the right thing. That's what he's talking about. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. It's a promise from God, just like every other promise. Refuse to usurp God's position and right to take care of things. You don't have to fix them. You just get forgive them. You say, Jim, but it's not fair. I know. I'm going to say it was. Just forgive them. Be free. Don't be trapped. Two key issues that belong to God are retaliation and punishment. Not me. It's not my gig. He's the one who brings real justice. He's the one who everyone must answer to. Not me. Not me. He's the one who is all-powerful. Not me. And not you. Forgiving isn't natural, but it's necessary. Hear me. Forgiving isn't natural, but it's necessary. Our world doesn't do much forgiving. Society is slow to forgive, for the most part. Society wants to get even. To be good forgivers, to be quick forgivers, is wise and makes your life better and those around you. The only way to forgive like God wants is to be connected to Jesus. It's the only way. Without him in our life, we just couldn't do it regularly. It just won't happen. We're going to close with this story, and we'll pick this up next week. You guys thought I was going to go late. I know you. You know me. Uh-uh. Nanner, nanner, nanner. Once upon a time, two friends were walking through the desert. During some point of the journey, they had an argument, a disagreement, and one friend slapped the other one on the face, slapped him, was so upset. The one who got slapped was hurt, but without saying anything, bent down and he wrote in the sand, "Today, my best friend slapped me in the face." He wrote it right in front of them. They kept on walking until they found an oasis and where they decided to take a bath, and the one who had been slapped got stuck in the mire and started drowning. But the friend saved him. He saved him, put his own life at risk. After he recovered from the near drowning, he wrote on a stone, "Today, my best friend saved my life." The friend who had slapped and saved the best friend asked him, "After I hurt you, you wrote in the sand, and now you write on the stone. Why? Why?" The other friend replied, when someone hurts us, we should write it down in sand where winds of forgiveness can erase it away. But when someone does something good for us, we must engrave it in stone where no wind can ever erase it. What do you remember in your life and in your past? What are you focused on? The good or the bad? The hurt or the blessings? You get to control so much more than you know of your own life and future. And as you listen to Jesus and begin to act on it and do it day after day, and you watch him bless your life, it's just cool. It's impactful. People get touched by you when you don't even know it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can be together. Thank you that you know us and that you love us. And I just pray that as we try to apply truth to our life in real ways, in our close relationships, that we seek to forgive on a higher level, on a quicker level, that you would bring gigantic blessings to each of our lives and homes and relationships. Lord, we know that this subject is near and dear to your hearts. May it be near and dear to ours. We love you. We appreciate you. Words don't seem to get it done, but we love you. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful day, my friends. It is not late.